Father, I thank you that, Lord, you are speaking, even now you're speaking. And you have a word for us this morning. You want to speak to us, prophetic word. Father, I ask that you'll anoint your servant today, that the message that goes forward will be a word, Lord, that changes our lives here today, Lord. Father, that for every single person here, there'll be something from this message that will never fall to the ground, Lord, but will become seed. That seed which will take root in our hearts and produce fruit and life for your kingdom. Father, let your word go forth in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Greg was speaking about the message from Obadiah, and if you're at a healing meeting, I preached this message a little while ago, but I have a variation of that message today I want to share with us, because sometimes not everyone makes it to the healing meeting, but this is a message I feel God wants us to hear today. And if you've got a Bible, open to Obadiah. It's only one chapter in the book of Obadiah, and Obadiah is after Amos and before Jonah. So sort of go about halfway through, flick around a bit, and you'll find it. Or unless you're one of those people that know every book of the Old Testament. The book of Obadiah is a book. It's a book, it's a prophetic book. Obadiah is a prophet, but it's a book that's encouraging for us today, because the book of Obadiah teaches us that in every generation there's wicked. There's wicked people that make the life of God's people difficult. And there are wicked people who can cause great damage to you and I. But God is a God of justice, and God oversees every action. There's nothing that happens on the earth that God doesn't see. And although God is merciful and God is patient, there comes a time where God moves and God deals, and God redresses, deals with evil, and deals with oppression. And his people, even if they may not have been perfect themselves, because they're his people, God promises a restoration. And the powers and the people and the wickedness that is done to God's people, God says there will be a day of reckoning. And the book of Obadiah is about a country called Edom, who stood by when Israel was invaded. And Israel was invaded, and Edom was there, was the nation right next door to them. And when Babylon, which came from a long way away, the invading nation, invaded Israel, instead of Edom helping their brother, which they were supposed to do, helping Israel, Edom joined in with Babylon and did something very, very wicked. They plundered Israel. And for many years, they thought they'd got away with it. God said there's a day coming where the whole book is about, you should not have, in verse 12, it says, you should not have gazed on the day of your brother, in the day of his captivity, nor should you have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. In the day of their calamity, indeed, you should not have gazed on their affliction. And it goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And it says, for the day of the Lord upon all the nations is near. And as you have done, it shall be done to you. So the book's about, it's about God's redress. And it's about your reprisal shall be on your own head. For as you drank on my holy mountain, so shall all the nations drink continually. Yes, they shall drink and swallow. They shall be as those they had never been. So it's about this nation called Edom reaping what it sowed. God says, you're about to reap what you sow. What you did to Israel is about to be done to you. And for God's people, he says, you who have been oppressed, you who were invaded by Babylon, God says the season of your captivity is over. Who knows that if we wander from God, God will chasten us. God will discipline us, but that season comes to an end and God restores us. Amen? He's a merciful God. And God is saying in this book to Israel, he's saying, your season of captivity is over. And he says, you'll come back, in verse 17, to Mount Zion. And on Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. There shall be holiness. The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. The house of Jacob shall be a fire. The house of Joseph a flame. But the house of Esau shall be stubble. They shall kindle them and devour them, and no survivor shall remember the house of Esau. For the Lord has spoken. The south shall possess the mountains of Esau, and the lowlands shall possess Philistia. They shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria. Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captives of this host of the children of Israel shall possess the land of the Canaanites. And on it goes. And as a Christian, how this is relevant for us is we as Christians have come to a place which is far superior to Mount Zion. We have come into the very presence of God. We have come into the presence of God through the blood of Jesus. And through Jesus, it says, on mountain there shall be deliverance. And is there deliverance in Jesus? Anyone who puts their faith in the blood of Jesus experiences the same deliverance that the Hebrews experienced. The devouring angel passed over them when he saw the blood. If you've ever trusted in the blood of Jesus to wash you clean of your sin, you've experienced deliverance. You've been delivered already from the power of hell, and you've been delivered already from the power of Satan. If you've trusted in the blood of Jesus, you have experienced deliverance. Have we experienced deliverance? We have, haven't we? Hallelujah, there's deliverance through the blood of Jesus. But this Bible, this word says when God moves, that God not only delivers, but he says to Jacob, which is the church, spiritual Israel, they shall possess their possessions. Then he goes and names all the possessions they have to possess. And what the message I have for us today is, as good as salvation is, as good as it is to be delivered from the power of hell, the power of Satan, power of the world, as good as it is to be saved, to be delivered, God has more for his people. God desires that we possess our possessions. What are our possessions? What are the possessions that God has laid aside for us, which we need to possess? The Bible speaks about the riches, not only salvation, but the riches in Christ Jesus. It speaks about every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Someone, I think maybe Effiani this morning or somebody else, read Psalm 103, that forget not all of his benefits, that all our sins are forgiven, all our diseases are healed, that we're crowned with God's love and compassion, so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. Our possessions are peace like a river. The Bible speaks about Jesus gives us, he's a Prince of Peace, releases to our heart the peace of that transcends understanding. It's a supernatural peace to be experienced. It is a joy that is independent of circumstances. It is a life where we feel we are new. We're a new creation. Something's in us that wasn't in us before. There's an excitement. There's a life in us. We know that we're never going to die. A knowledge that we're actually eternal now. All these things. Jesus died not to just give us salvation. He died to release spiritual gifts, gifts of healing, gifts of miracle. These are our possessions. And in fact, Psalm 2 speaks about, for the true Christian, the whole world is our possession. It says, ask of me, I'll give you the nations of your inheritance, the end of the earth for your possession. So God has given us through Christ, God has given us many things apart from salvation. The Bible speaks about the things, the riches in Christ apart from salvation. But you know what? Those things need to be possessed. Some people can come to church every Sunday. They can sit in church. I've seen it happen every Sunday because of unbelief or fear. They hear the message every week, but they're never able to possess their possessions. It's like they've the inheritance that's in Christ, the riches that are in Christ. They don't possess them. It's like they own the house, but they never live in it. Other people can partially possess the possession. They can come in here and they have a theory of the atonement. They know they're saved. They know they're delivered. But that they don't experience. They don't. Things rock them. They don't live in that place where they're peaceful always. No matter what happens, they know God's got them in their hand. They know that the storm will pass. They know that God loves them so much that they'll never fear. Some people don't live like that. They only partially possess their possessions. If you come to church every Sunday and shout hallelujah, and on Tuesday you're full of fret, you haven't possessed your possession. How do you possess what God's given you? How do you possess the riches of Christ? I tell you, we look at Jacob. He's the model. Sorry, Joshua's the model. God gives Joshua a promise. He says to Joshua, I'm giving you by promise. I'm giving you by promise an inheritance, the promised land. God gives us his word. He gives us his promises. But we don't possess them at that time. Jacob has to take the promise. And he has to walk the promise out. He has to walk out the promise. If God said to him, I'm going to give you Canaan, and he didn't arise and walk through the land, he wouldn't possess his possessions. Without the word of God, you can't possess your possessions. If you don't read the Bible, you can't possess your possessions. You don't know what your possession is. You don't know what's in your inheritance. We need to possess our possession through the word of God. Without prayer, Jesus says, ask me for anything according to my will. There's your inheritance. There's your possession. Ask me for anything according to my will. I'll give it to you. Without prayer, you can't possess your possessions. Jesus said, you speak to anything in my name. Command it to move in the name of Jesus. It'll move. They're all our possessions. God wants to give us. You know what God wants to see? God wants to see a people like Joshua, who understand through Christ we have peace that transcends understanding. That's my possession. There's no need for me to be anxious anymore. There's no need to be fretful anymore. You know what happens? When you take hold of that word and say, I don't have a spirit of fear anymore, but love and power and a sound mind. As you walk out that word, like Joshua walked out his word, every opposition that the enemy constructs in front of you, every Jericho falls as you walk with your word. This is how we possess our possessions. But you know, there's one missing thing. It says here, on Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Between deliverance and possessing the fullness, every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, between deliverance and possession must come holiness. And I believe that's the word God is speaking to his church today, is holiness, righteousness and holiness. Without holiness, the Bible says, you will not see God. And God doesn't make us holy. He says, be holy as I am holy. Holiness is something that we do. What is holiness then? It's the key. It's the door to possessing the house, the riches of Christ Jesus. Holiness is the door that unlocks your possession. It goes along with the word of God. And so you say, what is holiness? what is holiness? It's one of those words that sometimes sounds religious. When you think that you hear it, you think of a monk or something like that. But holiness is a very practical word. The word holiness means to be set apart. It means to be set apart for God's purpose, and it means to be set apart from sin and the world and idols. And I have this prophetic picture today that there's promises that God has made to people. Promises, dreams and visions that God has given to people. He's going to continue to give to people. They're part of your possession. God makes promises to his people. To possess them, to make those things manifest into reality, to walk into the fullness of what God has chosen for us, we ourselves must choose holiness. And I see at the moment there's a people being prepared. There's a prepared people that God has spoken to. Some of you are going to possess nations and cities for Christ. Some of you are going to possess the schoolyard. You've got ministries. God's going to open doors for you. Some of you are going to possess other things. You're going to possess the mountains. You're going to take hold of the riches that are in Christ Jesus. But I see a people at the moment being in like Joseph. Joseph was prepared before he came into his word. It says the word of God tested him. You know what his test was? His test was, would he choose holiness? Would he choose holiness? And in the end, Joseph chose holiness because he was offered an affair with Potiphar. And he set himself apart from that. Potiphar's wife, he says, no, I'm set apart from sin. And then he was in the prison. And somebody came who was miserable. And they'd had a dream. And Joseph ministered to the fellow, even though he was in prison. But he ministered because he was set apart for God. He'd set himself apart to serve God even in the prison. He was set apart from sin, and he was set apart for God. And at the exact right time, where God saw that he chose holiness, God opened the door for him. And he went from the pit to the prime minister. Christ died for more than your deliverance. Christ died for more than my deliverance. He died to wash us clean of our sin. He died to heal us of every disease. He died to give us a peace which the world cannot know. He died that we be live in a joy that is unspeakable. There's something going on us. Even when things get difficult, we wouldn't lose that joy. He died to release gifts of the Holy Spirit to our lives. He died to make us fruitful and to be used to build his kingdom. He didn't die for us just to become church attenders or to hang on till we get to heaven. I want to say today, ask you today. It says here, on Mount Zion, in the presence of God, that's what Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Psalm 103. Says this. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. All the benefits of Christ's death. He forgives all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. Crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. Every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus is your inheritance. Every spiritual blessing, every single spiritual blessing, peace, joy, indeed, the whole world is the possession of the Christian. I want to ask you today, do you have the mindset that that needs to be possessed by faith? Do you have the mindset that you need to know this book? What's in it for you? I tell you what's going to happen. If you are struggling with a depression, in this season, the Bible says Christ died to give you the oil of joy for mourning. That oil of joy will not manifest as reality and destroy your possession, your depression, until you possess it. The peace that flows like a river if you're anxious will not manifest as reality in your life until you possess it. That Christ has promised you peace that transcends understanding. The joy that is regardless of circumstances, the oil of joy in the place of mourning, doesn't become a reality in our life until we possess it. How do you possess it? You take this book and you open it. And it's by faith Joshua took his inheritance. He took what was his. God promised him, this is yours, this land. By faith he took it. When you pick up this book, if you're feeling oppressed and you say, Christ died to give me the oil of joy for mourning, I'm taking that word. I'm not living in oppression anymore. I'm taking this word of God until it manifests in my life. I tell you what happens to someone who lives like that, who takes and lives by promise. As they walk out that word, just as Joshua walked out his word, every Jericho, every wall of oppression and depression the enemy has constructed in front of your life falls before you as you trust the word of God. But it must be possessed. God's been speaking to me about passive Christians. I feel in this meeting even today, God's speaking to us about Christians who just believe to get into heaven and a salvation. Christ died to give us much more. Christ died to give us gifts of the Holy Spirit, gifts of healing, gifts of miracles, gifts to build his church. You know the greatest gift? This is what it says. It says, the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Jacob a flame. You know what that speaks about? That speaks about Pentecost. Christian, our greatest possession we have is the greatest possessions the church has ever received came at Pentecost, where 120 hungry believers received 120 flames of fire. And the Christianity life, we're not supposed to discipline our way through the Christian life. There's supposed to be a fire burning. Well, the way we overcome sin is not just through human effort, but the fire of the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost and it consumes things that we can't consume. Evangelism is not supposed to be a human project. It's supposed to be people who, there's a fire being lit on them, a fire for Jesus in their heart that burns within them. And as they share with other people, that fire literally jumps off you and gets on other people. They catch fire for Jesus. How do you get the fire? How do you inherit the fire? Between deliverance and your possession comes holiness. The Holy Spirit, which brings that flame of fire to our life, looks for a holy landing ground. It just means a people that have set themselves apart to serve God. People that have set themselves apart from sin said, I don't want to be used for that. I want to be used for God. people, house of Jacob, shall possess their possessions. The house of Jacob shall be a fire. The house of Joseph, a flame. You know what that fire does? But the house of Israel shall be stubble. Once God's people carry the fire of Pentecost, you don't have to deal with your enemies anymore. The Holy Spirit deals with your enemies. Esheb shall be stubble. I want to pray today at the end, as I finish this message today, that all the riches that are in Christ Jesus, think of all the riches, the beauty, the peace, the joy, the overcoming, the faithfulness, divine health, everything that Christ died to give us apart from deliverance, that God's people shall possess it. You know what Christ died to give us more than anything else? More than anything else, Christ died to give us the baptism that he received, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so that Jacob would be a fire. Jacob would be a flame. Jesus received that baptism, but his baptism. The house of Jacob, the church of Jesus, shall possess their possessions, and it shall be a fire. It shall be a flame. It shall be a people that have received so much from Jesus. They're receiving daily so much from Jesus, whose lives have been so enriched by Jesus that they feel like they don't want anything else. And I want to ask you, is that how you feel? Do you feel as though you have every spiritual blessing? Do you feel as though you're on fire for Jesus? I want to pray for you now. Just bow your head. The Bible says here, between deliverance and possessing those possessions, there must be holiness. Holiness is just a choice. We say, I'm setting myself apart for your use, God. Not for my use anymore. I'm setting myself apart. I want to set myself apart from your use. I want to set myself apart from every idol. I want to set myself apart from the sin that so easily entangles. When we make that choice, and we start to believe what's in the Word of God, we start to take hold of the promises of God, every opposition begins to crumble like it did for Joshua. Father, I lay hold of your word today. Your word says that you not only died, that we would be a delivered people, delivered from hell, but Lord, we would be a people who, like Joshua, possess our possessions. Father, we lay hold today for everyone who is troubled here today, everyone who is fretful. We lay hold of the peace that transcends understanding. We lay hold of that by faith. And Father, we command every wall of anxiety to crumble in front of God's people. Father, we lay hold of the joy unspeakable in Christ Jesus. We speak to every spirit of oppression and depression to fall today in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Father, I speak to every spirit of poverty and lack, and we lay hold of your word that says, Lord Jesus, you became poor so that we could be rich in every way. We lay hold of that promise and we command all poverty to crumble today before the word of God. Father, your word says that, Lord, not only are all our sins forgiven, but all our diseases are healed by the 39 stripes of Jesus. We speak to all disease and we command it to fall and become nothing according to the word of God. And Father, we choose holiness today. And we rejoice that your people not only possess, Lord, this word says we not only possess all the riches in Christ, but Lord, indeed we'll possess everything the enemy took off us, Lord. Everything we were restored. All the treasures of Edom, all the riches of the Gentiles will come to your people. And we bless you, Lord, that you are moving today. Let us be a people, Lord, who by faith lay hold of everything you've promised so that we may be, Lord, all that you desire your church to be. We pray all that in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen and amen, amen.